Topic 30. Transforming Programming. There's a quote attributed to W. Edwards Deming.
If you can't describe what you are doing as a process, you don't know what you're doing.
All programs transform data, converting an input into an output. And yet, when we think about design, we rarely think about creating transformations. Instead, we worry about classes and modules, data structures and algorithms, languages and frameworks. We think that this focus on code often misses the point. We need to get back to thinking of programs as being something that transforms inputs into outputs. When we do, many of the details we previously worried about just evaporate. The structure becomes clearer, the error handling more consistent, and the coupling drops way down. To start our investigation, let's take the time machine back to the 1970s and ask a Unix programmer to write us a program that lists the 5 longest files in a directory tree, where longest means having the largest number of lines. You might expect them to reach for an editor and start typing in C, but they wouldn't, because they are thinking about this in terms of what we have, a directory tree, and what we want, a list of files. Then they'd go to a terminal and type something like
find dot minus type f, pipe through xargs wc minus l, pipe through sort minus n, pipe through tail minus 5. And when I say pipe through, I'm referring to the vertical bar character, or the pipe.
This is a series of transformations. Find minus type f, write a list of all the files in or below the current directory to standard output. Xargs wc minus l, read lines from standard input and arrange for them all to be passed as arguments to the command wc minus l. The WC program with the minus L option counts the number of lines in each of its arguments and writes each result as count file name to standard output. Sort minus N. Sort standard input, assuming each line starts with a number, writing the result to standard output. Tail minus 5. Read standard input and write just the last 5 lines to a standard output. Run this in our books directory, and we get a list of 4 files and their sizes, followed by a total. We can strip the total off by requesting one more line from tail and then ignoring the last line. Let's look at this in terms of the data that flows between the individual steps. Our original requirement, top 5 files in terms of lines, becomes a series of transformations. Directory name becomes a list of files, becomes list with line numbers, becomes sorted list, becomes highest 5 plus total, becomes highest 5. It's almost like an industrial assembly line. Feed raw data in one end, and the finished product, information, comes out the other. And we like to think about all code this way. Tip 49. Programming is about code, but programs are about data. Finding transformations. Sometimes the easiest way to find the transformations is to start with the requirement and determine its inputs and outputs. Now you've defined the function representing the overall program, you can then find steps that lead you from input to output. This is a top-down approach. For example, you want to create a website for folks playing word games that finds all the words that can be made from a set of letters. Your input here is a set of letters, and your output is a list of 3-letter words, 4-letter words, and so on. Given the letters L-V-Y-I-N, we transform that to a list of 3-letter words, Ivy, Lin, Nil, and Yin, a list of 4-letter words, Inly, Liney, Viney, and a list of 5-letter words, Vinyl. The trick behind the overall application is simple. We have a dictionary which groups words by a signature, chosen so that all words containing the same letters will have the same signature. The simplest signature function is just the sorted list of letters in the word. We can then look up an input string by generating a signature for it, and then seeing which words, if any, in the dictionary have that same signature. Thus, the anagram finder breaks down into four separate transformations. We start with the initial input. Step 1, transform it into all combinations of three or more letters. Step 2, transform that into signatures of the combinations. Step 3, transform that into a list of all dictionary words which match any of the signatures. Step 4, transform that into words grouped by length. Transformations all the way down. Let's start by looking at step 1, which takes a word and creates a list of all combinations of three or more letters. This step can itself be expressed as a list of transformations. We start with the initial input. Step 1, transform that into individual characters. Step 2, transform that into a list of all subsets. Step 3, transform that into a list of sets with three or more elements. Step 4, transform each back to a string. We've now reached the point where we can easily implement each transformation in code, using Elixir in this case. Here's the body of the function. Word pipe to string.codePoints, pipe to comb.subsets, pipe to stream.filter, length subset is greater than or equal to 3, pipe to stream.map, ampersand list.toString, ampersand 1. What's with the pipe to operator? Elixir, along with many other functional languages, has a pipeline operator, sometimes called a forward pipe or just a pipe. All it does is take the value on its left and insert it as the first parameter of the function on its right. So, vinyl, pipe to string.codePoints, pipe to com.subsets, is the same as writing com.subsets, open paren, string.codePoints, open paren, vinyl, close paren, close paren. Other languages may inject this piped value as the last parameter of the next function. It largely depends on the style of the built-in libraries. You might think that this is just syntactic sugar, but in a very real way, the pipeline operator is a revolutionary opportunity to think differently. Using a pipeline means that you're automatically thinking in terms of transforming data. Each time you see pipe to, you're actually seeing a place where data is flowing between one transformation and the next. Many languages have something similar. Elm, F-sharp, and Swift have vertical bar greater than. Clojure has dash greater than and dash greater than, which work a little differently. R has percent greater than percent. Haskell both has pipe operators and makes it easy to declare new ones. As we write this, there's talk of adding pipelines to JavaScript. If your current language supports something similar, you're in luck. If it doesn't, see our topic, Language X Doesn't Have Pipelines. Why is this so great? Let's look at the body of the main function. Word, pipe to all subsets longer than three characters, pipe to as unique signatures, pipe to find in dictionary, pipe to group by length. It's simply a chain of the transformations needed to meet our requirement, each taking input from the previous transformation and passing output to the next. That comes about as close to literate code as you can get. But there's something deeper, too. If your background is object-oriented programming, then your reflexes demand that you hide data, encapsulating it in inside objects. These objects then chatter back and forth, changing each other's state. This introduces a lot of coupling, and it is a big reason that OO systems can be hard to change. Tip 50. Don't hoard state. Pass it around. In the transformational model, we turn that on its head. Instead of little pools of data spread all over the system, think of data as a mighty river, a flow. Data becomes a peer to functionality. A pipeline is a sequence of code data. The data is no longer tied to a particular group of functions, as it is in a class definition. Instead, it is free to represent the unfolding progress of our application as it transforms its inputs into its outputs. This means that we can greatly reduce coupling. A function can be used, and reused, anywhere its parameters match the output of some other function. Yes, there is still a degree of coupling, but in our experience, it's more manageable than the OO style of command and control. And if you're using a language with type checking, you'll get compile time warnings when you try to connect two incompatible things. What about error handling? So far, our transforms have worked in a world where nothing goes wrong. How can we use them in the real world, though? If we can only build linear chains, how can we add all that conditional logic that we need for error checking? There are many ways of doing this, but they all rely on a basic convention. We never pass raw values between transformations. Instead, we wrap them in a data structure, or type, which also tells us if the contained value is valid. In Haskell, for example, this wrapper is called maybe. In F-sharp and Scala, it's option. How you use this concept is language-specific. In general, though, there are two basic ways of writing the code. You can handle checking for errors inside your transformations or outside them. The code download has a couple of examples that implement this in Elixir. Have a look at grep.ex and grep1.ex in the directory function.pipelines/anagrams/lib. Transformations transform programming. Thinking of code as a series of nested transformations can be a liberating approach to programming. It takes a while to get used to, but once you've developed the habit, you'll find your code becomes cleaner, your functions shorter, and your designs flatter. Give it a try. Here's a challenge. Can you express the following requirements as a top-level transformation? That is, for each, identify the input and the output. 1. Shipping and sales tax are added to an order. 2. Your application loads configuration information from a named file. 3. Someone logs into a web application.